that you will renew our strength. And because we will mount up like wings on like eagles and soar to heights like never before. Because we are the eagles, God. The enemy snares cannot snare us here on earth. Because we soar above the snare. Elevate us, God. Take us to a place we've never been. Show us things we've never seen. Let us encounter things we've never encountered. Let us hear colors and see sound. Let us experience the heavenly realm, Father. For we're not of this world. We are spirit beings with your spirit that lives inside of us. So Father, I just thank you that you are the God that will lead us into all truth. The heavenly realm, Father, that is truthful. The word says that there is no sickness nor disease in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no stress in heaven, God. So I just thank you that the heavens are here now. That everything that has us so caught up in our mind and has us so busy that we miss the time spent with you. When we don't understand, we have a tendency to run, a tendency to hide. But we need you, God, to fill our voids so that we have an understanding on who you are in the area of our life that we don't understand how to heal. We need your touch, God. Let us experience you in a whole different dimension. Let your body, Lord, all across this nation, reach out and cry out to touch the hem of your garment. We've pushed you out of the government, pushed you out of the schools. We've removed you out of offices, Lord, of this government. But yet we still cry and believe on you, Lord, your word. Father, we cry for your presence, Lord, your manifest presence, Lord. That we just cry for more of you. We cry to drink of the water that we'll thirst no more. To eat the manna that has fallen, Lord, from the bread of heaven, Lord. To taste and see that the Lord is good. Manifest presence, God, where your glory, Father, is felt. A tangible kabod glory. As seen in the times of Moses when he entered into the tent of meeting, Father, and they could see the cloud ascend upon him, Lord, that many could not enter, Lord, for the cloud covered the tent. We don't want another religious experience, God. We don't want another goosebump, a chill down our spine. We want a tangible touch. We want to experience you, God, you. Your word says when two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in the midst. We don't come to spectate. We don't come to hear another prophetic word. We come to hear you, God, for instructions, directions. We need you. In a land that is crying out for order, God. A land that is crying out for a God who is a king. That places everything in the mandate order that was established before the foundations of this earth. God, I just thank you that you are going to silence all of those that oppose you. That you'll silence every voice, God, that has come against your son. That you'll silence every voice that doubts even your word. God, I just thank you that you are a God that loves us so much. That you love glory, eternity, and stepped into our time. But before you departed from this beautiful earth, you left us your spirit, the comforter. In the times of comfort, Lord, we need him now even deeper. At a level and dimension that we have yet to even embark on, we trust you. You'll never lead us astray. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And in this season of change, God, we pray that the change is evident in this nation and across this globe, that the love of the Father permeate this globe and touch the hearts of those that have been hardened and those that have given up and those that run to things, to vices, Lord, that just because they're in pain. To the sons and the daughters that are fatherless, Lord, you be the father. To those that have no mother, Lord, you be that presence, Lord, that will lift every child, Father, every man, woman, and child into your bosom. We need your comfort, Lord, your presence. Father, we hear what your spirit is saying, but let us now know what to do with what you're saying. We need something to change. Father, I decreed it because you spoke it. Change. And change is being spoken all across the land because of a tragedy to precious young children. And as their mothers and fathers cry out, how much more do you cry? How much more do you cry for this nation, this globe? That when we turn our backs on you, how much more do you say, will you change? Will you change? Forgive us, God. Forgive us. We repent. We change our minds. We change our hearts. We let go of everything. We let go of the pain that is within. We need a king that reigns supreme on this earth. God, we love you. We love you. And we're sorry, Bob. We're sorry. We come to you in times of need, in times of despair. We flock to the churches when times of tragedy. But when everything's going okay, where are the people? Do we not love you enough to stay consistent? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. God, we love you. We love you. You're wonderful. And you are our King. You are our King. We thank you for the change. We thank you for the change, God. We thank you that we're a people they will hearken unto you and trust you in times when we don't understand. Father, we just thank you. We worship you, Father. We worship you. Even in the silence, God. Even in the silence, we worship you. Even when it's uncomfortable, God, we worship you. Even when we feel we've been imprisoned by the circumstances of our life, we worship you in it. Father, we just thank you, God, that you'll guide us out. You'll shift and change the circumstance for your people. God, I love you. I love you. I love you. God, I love you. I thank you. I thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your Son unto us to help this dying world. And I thank you that my sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and forever, never to be remembered again. So Father, I just thank you that all condemnation is just removed from our minds and our heart. Every shortcoming, Lord, is removed. And I thank you that in the time that we can come together in your presence, Lord, that we can ask in your name and it shall be given. And Father, today we ask you to show up in the midst of our tragedies, in the midst of everything that's going on. We need your presence. And we need a tangible touch. One touch can change the direction of this earth. One touch. Father, I pray that your finger, Lord, just your finger just touch us. Signs and wonders are beautiful, God. But I want you. I want you. Let your glory cover us all. So those that do not know you can see who you are covering us and see your presence on us. Father, we thank you that we represent the kingdom well. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. There's a holy presence here, guys. A holy presence. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It may be a little bit too quiet for you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Just rest in it, man. Just rest. As you rest in his presence, we can get healing. We can get deliverance. We can get so much healing. All we've got to do is just trust him in it. When it gets uncomfortable, he wants to know, how much more of him do you really want? We have to rest in him. We have enough troubles for tomorrow. We have enough going on in our lives. We need to rest in him, guys. He doesn't need our help to change our circumstance. He just needs us to be still. He'll finish it, he'll accomplish it, and you'll see it. When it manifests, you'll know. Amen. Do you surrender to him? Not just in your mind, but in your heart. It's easy to accept Christ in your mind, but in your heart, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because if it don't feel right, it don't look right, you won't accept them. We as a people need to accept them in our heart and truly allow him to work in our heart. I'll give you an example. There's areas in our life that we don't want God to really mess with. But that's the area that he wants to come in. And we need to let him in. He's not going to force himself on you. But if you surrender your heart to him, your heart, not your mind, your heart, he'll come into that area that we have a tendency to cover up. He can help you remove that thing that ails you, whether it be sickness or disease, bitterness, unforgiveness. It could even be just a judgmental and critical spirit. He can help remove that. You just need to let him in. Are you willing to let him in? God, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Baby's over here snoring, that's good. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has anybody experienced anything in your soaking, in your worship? Yes, ma'am. Was the light behind the door?
Yes.
But the door never opened.
The door was open.
It was open.
It was a big opening.
Mm-hmm.
I was just afraid of the door. And the light was on the other side. And it came to the door. And it was just, I mean, I don't know whether it was me or who it was walking towards it. It was a white marble floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
Amen. Open doors. I pray for open doors. The doors of heaven stay and remain open, and that we're able to walk into it. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? No? Okay. What I want to share with you is something that the Lord put on my heart. And you can remain where you're at. I promise you it's not going to be long. Just about 2 hours. It's just spun up. It's not real long. Just as I was in worship, the Lord kept speaking to me about change. And I kept telling you I was going to teach you or minister to you about change until we enter into the new year. Turn that light up just a little bit more. And one of the things that the Lord took me to, and I know we're coming into the Christmas season where we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but he took me to Luke, and I'll just read it real quick. I don't want to focus too much on the birth of Jesus. I want to speak something to you on what I believe God is saying to the church. And this is more concerning when God speaks something to you, we have a responsibility, do we not? Sometimes these responsibilities will require a couple of things. One, obedience. Correct? I mean, that we understand. But when it comes to when God speaks something very specific of what is to come, I'm going to show you two different things that took place in Scripture when the angel Gabriel came to two women. When he came, he spoke something, but before he spoke it to the woman, he spoke it to the Father. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass while Zechariah executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fell upon him. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 16, And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know that this? For I am old, I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Do you hear the unbelief? Do you hear the unbelief? Okay. Verse 19, And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, who stands at the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Did you hear that? Unbelief spoken into the messenger of God caused him not to be able to speak. Some of the scriptures will reflect that not only was he unable to speak, but unable to hear. When God is speaking something to you and you don't believe it, you have disbelief and unbelief, something can happen that'll bring about you unable to speak or to hear. And I'm not going to give you a rebuke message. I'm not giving that. I'm just trying to show you something. God sent a messenger from eternity into this earth. This isn't about Jesus yet. Do you understand? Gabriel comes to the Father first, who is a priest from Aaron's lineage. So was Elizabeth. So they're from the priesthood lineage. Are you not the royal priesthood of God? So you can't have angelic visitations and speak a word directly to your circumstance on what is about to come into your life and for what the purpose is. But if unbelief sets in, how many of us wonder how come we're not hearing from God? Okay, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. It's just me. I don't want to put anybody on blast. I'm the only one that don't hear from God. I'm dialing the wrong number or something because I'm not getting through to him. I sent an email and it came back just undeliverable. I sent a fax and the fax said it was not received. I got on FaceTime, I couldn't see his face. I sent an Instagram and I couldn't get nothing in return. I tried to send something to God, but I didn't hear nor did I speak anything.
Amen.
Do we wonder why this nation is where it's at? Did not God speak something to this nation that it shall be holy unto God, one nation under God? But we wonder why we can't hear God for this nation. We haven't had prophets, true prophets. And I'm not coming against the people that have gone before the president. I'm talking about a prophet that can speak and the course of what has taken place change. But maybe he's not raising up a prophet. Maybe he's raising up a people. So when it is spoken in unity and agreement, something can change. I believe the angel of the Lord has already spoken. But because America did not want to listen and unbelief set in, we have been muted. The Bible says dumb. You know, dumb. I don't know about you, but when God starts speaking about being dumb, he's saying, in other words, you have no input. And not only do you not have any input, you're not receiving input either. God's been speaking. Now, this right now is talking about just about John the Baptist. He's speaking right now just to the priesthood who is doing his duty in the temple. Matter of fact, it says the course of his duty. And he was among the first courses that is very, very respectful in the house of God. Why would doubt set in to Zechariah? Do we have leaders in the church that are doubting God? Even after what has been spoken? But yet, how can we don't see the results of what's been spoken? Because doubt sets in even during the course of the things for God. We're no different. The priesthood is not the one that stands in the church preaching. The priesthood is the one that receives the kingdom order in your heart. And he's trying to get a change into this government. Can he get change just in your home? Can he change that level of influence first? And if he can change that, then maybe he can be able to get into the school system. Maybe after the school system, maybe we can probably get into the church system. Probably not, because we'll kick it right back out. Because we're the ones that kicked God out of the church a long time ago. Why? Why did we kick God out of the church? Because we only had 1 hour for God. I watched my son play basketball. 7th grade. They have 2 teams. About half this congregation. And the coach has to put everybody in at some point. And it's like I look and I say, I remember when I used to play basketball. Coach, can I play? Can I play? It's like God saying, can I come back in to the church? Can you put me in? Can you put me in? I know what to do. Can you put me in? Can you put me back into the service? Hey, I know what I can do. Can you put me in? But the coach don't want to put him in. Because it might mess up the tithes and the offering. It might mess up the way the church is flowing. Because we're seeker friendly in the church, we put God out the church. We want to build big old buildings and bring in all these people and sit them on 3 and 4 balconies. But yet you don't even know their name. That's not kingdom. Kingdom is based upon relationship. That's what the currency is. When I look at you, I look at the kingdom. But if I'm looking from a big auditorium, amen, hallelujah, that person over there, that one. No, the other one. Who is that? Who is that one? Who do I have to ask? Who's that person? Is there an elder, deacon, whatever, so-and-so? Who is that person? But yet, we're trying to make change, but we can't change because we won't let them in. Now, I've seen some of these kids, when they get in the game, they don't care if they ever make a basket. They just got in. They're so excited that they don't know whether they're on offense or defense. They're running around. They're just excited. Can we put God back in the system and say, have at it, God. Just do what you want to do. Have at it. We've been dumb long enough. Now let it come to pass so that we can make the crooked path straight. Do you understand? I don't know about you, but when we had a meeting this morning here, I haven't signed nothing. Did you sign something in that meeting? Okay, well then I don't have no confidentiality thing going on yet. I'm going to just say something right now. When you get a bunch of generals around, did I not bring it up? Did I not bring it up? When you get generals around, what's going on and what are we going to do? Well, you bring the scripture next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the presence enters in. Okay, it's time for a chorizo and egg. Am I lying? And we're the generals. And we wonder why we can't get people to change. How about we learn to be dumb for a little bit? Shut your mouth. Don't listen to your stomach. Be still. Daddy just entered in. What does he want?
Amen.
These are generals sitting here. I was so... This is spiritual son. Y'all know that, right? Spiritual son has more sense to know that daddy entered the room. And we sit there like, oh, yes, yes. And we end the meeting without even praying. Did we not? I was like, oh my God, what is going on? I said, Daddy, when you show up, I'll stay. Amen. I need you now. Yes. Let Gabriel come into your presence. Excuse me, I have to deal with this incense, all right? Zechariah could have said that. Why? He's doing the order and the business of the temple of God. So Gabriel comes. Fear gripped him. My question to you, let an angel come. What's up? I've been praying for visitation.
Amen.
What you bringing to us? But when you don't enter into relationship with God, when he sends his messenger, that's why you're fearful.
Come on.
When it says that we go above the angels, do you understand? Did the angels look at us and say, do you know your position? Do you know I work for you? But I can't move when you have doubt. I can't do nothing if it don't line up with the word. Would you put the word back in you so I can begin to do my job? I'm just still talking about Elizabeth. She ain't even got pregnant yet. But there's so much in the scripture that tells you, can we just... We just got to even close our ears and say, I don't want to hear your mess.
Come on.
I don't want to hear none of that junk. Because what will happen if it comes here, it's going to come out right there. You know, it's in the Bible. Oh, my God, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Oh, thank you. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto you to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed. Because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. That's a hint. That's right there saying, why did you take longer this time than before? Hello? Past the hour? Past the 45 minute? The transition from the first three services so you can get the fourth one in? But they marveled why he tarried so long in the temple. We can't even get people to stay past the hour. We can't even get them to stay past the greeting. We can't even get, oh, Lord. We can't get them in. On time. And we wonder why things are a mess. Oh, the glory of God is in this church over here. They're doing so much work because they're growing, they're building. Are the people being built up or the church being built? I'm not against massive churches, mega, meta, whatever. I'm not against them. If God takes me there, amen, I will make it a point to be amongst the people. How you doing? How you been? Cupcakes been good to you lately? Okay. How's Zumba classes? Why? Why? Because if we have relationship, you can see my frailty. I can see your frailty. You know how to pray for me. I know how to pray for you. But when you get people that don't want to be next to the congregation because they take this whole thing about Moses, he had to separate from the people because he was messed up himself. Jesus came amongst the people. His sermons were long. He didn't have a microphone, much less an overhead projector with cameras. He didn't have the internet to broadcast it someplace else. But yet everybody followed Jesus. They didn't just follow and jumped in the car and say, what's up, let's go. They walked. They didn't have food along the way. They had nothing along the way. They didn't have nice, comfortable chairs. They didn't have a roof over their head. Matter of fact, when the stars began to come out, they weren't leaving. They stayed. But when they stayed, miracles were performed. Show me your glory, God. You got about another 15 minutes, God. Show me your glory. I got to do tithes and offerings, so hold that right now. Where y'all going? The people watched him tarry in the temple. People say, you have long services. I don't, he does. Amen. You know how many times on Sundays I say, y'all can go. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. My fourth closing, God bless you, you can go. You ain't leaving, you're stuck now.
That's real.
For you visitors, you hear them. God is the one that's in control.
Amen.
And when we let him be in charge and we listen and obey, there's something else that takes place. You see manifestation. Okay, watch this. I won't keep you. I promise. He will, but not me. Verse 22 in Luke 1. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. What? How all of a sudden now the people perceive you have a vision? Because you spent time with God?
Wow.
Did we catch that? But now people are saying, oh, you always have visions. That's from the devil. They get mad at the fact that you're having encounters, and then they expect for it to be interpreted. There's nothing wrong with it. That's the natural. Do you understand that we're not natural people? I didn't say normal. Natural. We're supernatural. So when you see supernatural, that's our natural. No, I lost you. No, listen. Listen, it's not going to be something that's weird or strange when I say to someone, arise, get up, and walk.
Amen.
Why? That's our natural realm.
Yes.
For an unbeliever, that's the supernatural realm. We're believers, that's our natural realm. We have the right to walk in that. To see beyond the natural and say, your job is waiting for you now. Why? Because we see beyond the natural and we see into the spirit. Do you understand? And that we say that everything's going to change now because we pull from eternity, the supernatural realm, and bring it into the natural. Do you understand? But why is it that it's so difficult now in the churches when somebody begins to move with their deliverance, prophecy, and everything else, demons are casted out and everything. Ooh, that's strange. That's strange. I ain't going to that church. That's the kingdom. We wonder why God is not in the system of the church. Because it don't feel right to us. I don't put on my makeup. Did my hair and my nails and got me a new outfit? How, you ain't gonna make me roll around like that.
Amen.
Watch it. Oh, Lord. And you ain't gonna put that red thing over because they ain't gonna fit over me anyhow. I'm being silly with you. But you know, you've seen people in church when things start happening. Real quick, they're ready to leave the church. Why? Because they don't understand. But yet they profess to be Christian. I'm not a judge. I don't. You can tell me you're Christian all you want. I got burned by more Christians than I did when I was out in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
That's true. That's true.
That's real.
Went to work for a Christian person.
Oh.
Got taken advantage of every day, left and right. When I used to deal with my drugs, there was respect there.
Yep.
I could leave. Mama always finds something out for me. You used to leave money in front of drug dealers, in front of guys that would party with me. And I don't mean the dollars that I have today, like five or six. I'm talking hundreds. And know that when I come back, it's still there. Let me be around some Christians. I can't even walk out. I'll be right back. Why? Why? Because Christians think he's blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm talking about me, my circumstances, Don't nobody get offended, and then y'all start walking out of here. Y'all know y'all have gotten hurt by Christians more than you have from people out in the world. And you, oh, let's flip the switch a little bit. You're quick to tell somebody out in the world how you feel, you Christians. But when it comes to the other Christian, I got to pray for them. Sister so-and-so, we got to pray for Sister Lucy now. And Sister Susie. That done made me all mad. You couldn't go tell the person that got you mad? Why? Because they're Christians? We got to stop all that. Don't profess to be a Christian and act like the devil out there. Amen. Or in here, because I see it. And you, I love you. I love you. I don't have donuts tonight, but I love you. I see it. Let's put God back in the church. Amen?
Amen.
I haven't even got to Mary yet. I love it, Lord. Thank you. Verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Wait a minute, hold on. Can we back up a bit? Did the angel talk to Elizabeth at all?
No.
She's been barren this whole time. It says, well, stricken in age. That's how we should talk to people when they say, how old are you? Well, stricken in age.
Really well.
Right? So now, I'm gonna just be playing with you. There's, kids are asleep, so we're good. How is it now that Elias comes in and she don't notice he can't talk or speak? Thank you. Thank you. I'm talking to some women in here. That's probably why she conceived. You don't hear me. Joshua, pray for me. Jeff, pray for me. That's probably why it happened. Because the mouth was shut. Let me help the man out. I'm going to help you out, Jeff. I'm going to help you out, Josh. I'll help you out. Marty, I'll help you out. Thank you. Since he didn't hear her talking, he couldn't respond. Oh, there's peace in the house. Baby, do the dishes. Baby, throw out the trash. Baby, come in the room. Come in the room. Couldn't argue. He couldn't do nothing to cause friction. Pastor, how are you getting this from that? Well, if a man don't speak, and if a man can't hear, how did something come out of something that wasn't there before? You don't hear me. I'm talking real with you. How many years did they miss it?
Wow.
Stop. Get back. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Haven't you heard stories when people were trying so hard to have babies and it wouldn't happen. In vitro, all of this, it wouldn't happen. But the moment they put it out of their mind, they got pregnant. Yeah. No, listen, follow my story. When they put it out of their mind, it takes place. Now, but you saw what the Bible says. She hid herself. God is telling us, the church, I am speaking to my generals. But because they're dumb, I'm going to shut them up. And the women, I told you, I've been speaking about this before, have I not? That this will be the season and the hour that the women will raise up. And men look at me like, what are you talking about? Get over that male chauvinistic age in your life. Women are coming to the forefront. When she hid herself, you don't hear me. Put your Bible down, baby. Put your Bible down. I'm going to show you. Will you stand up, please, with your shawl? When she hid herself, lift up your shawl. Your shawl. Lift it up.
Over your head.
She hid herself with her husband.
All the way.
Under the covering and the glory of what was spoken. Amen. During the times when it's hard and difficult and you can't see you coming out of your circumstance, be still. Come under the covering of what God spoke to you, but come in agreement with your spouse. Come in agreement with the Spirit and be still. And out of the intimacy with God comes life. Comes life. What God spoke to the man by an angelic visitation, he never spoke to Elizabeth. The angel didn't come to Elizabeth and say, you're going to have a child. Matter of fact, the angel told Zachariah what to name the child. Correct? Now, y'all probably heard this on TBN, the word, whatever the case may be. You probably heard this preached to you before. My question is, before you get the outcome, why is it that the angel has to speak to someone with unbelief that is standing in the presence of the Lord in the temple with unbelief and speak to him, be still, be quiet, and don't move and don't say nothing until the time comes to pass? The church has been in error for a very long time. When the time comes to fruition, when it's time to speak, thus saith the Lord, it shall take place. Yep. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Did you hear that? Men have a tendency to look upon the women that cannot bear fruit the child. And bring a child onto this earth and say, you just ain't working right. What about the man? Why is it that the man had to be dealt with? Because if the man would have got involved, would have messed up everything. Do you understand? So what is taking place is God is saying, I'm about to birth something. But I need man to move out of the way. I need man to be silent what is about to take place. I need man to just keep their mouth shut, because until it's manifested, they are not going to be able to speak. But when it manifests, then he will say, his name shall be called. Why all of a sudden it was released? Because during the birthing process, sometimes you got to shut everybody out. And only let God do what he needs to do. Now we'll continue on the story real quick, because I know it's already at 9 o'clock. Verse 26, and then on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Okay, here we go. Now we're being sent now to Mary. Not Joseph. to Mary. Oh, but watch. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail you that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled and saying, and troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, her thoughts, what manner of salutation this shall be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." The angel speaking unto Mary, knowing that Mary is thinking, okay, now what's going on here? Why was it that Mary, a virgin, not in the service of the temple, not fearful of the angel, but only fearful of how she was greeted? Do you understand that? Now, Mary's not in the temple doing the service of the priesthood. She's just a virgin getting married to be married to Joseph. And the angel comes, but she's not afraid. She's just thinking in her mind, what kind of salutation is this? So the one that's in the temple shouldn't have been afraid of the angel, but the one that has never worked in the temple is the one that's not afraid. Do we hear that? Do we see the difference here? When you find favor with God, when the angels come to you, you're not afraid of the angel. You may be thinking, why are you here? Let's see what's up. Do you understand? And I ain't preaching on trying to get you to worship angels. Don't worship the angel. Worship the one that sent them.
Amen.
Do you understand? And so when she thought, why are you speaking to me? Why are you saying I'm favored? Have you ever wondered why God does some things for you and he don't do for others? And I'm saying what I heard was doubt. No, why does he do for others and not for me is what I heard. You know it's true. You'd be looking at someone in church. You got some new shoes. And then they give their testimony, y'all been out of shape. Why they getting blessed? I've been saved 25 years. They just got saved. I still ain't got my breakthrough. I still ain't got my blessing. Why they get theirs? Hello? System. Do you understand the system? Now, Mary wasn't doing the temple work. But yet, when the angel comes, she didn't get scared. She's just thinking in her mind, okay, he's greeting me. That's Gabriel. Okay, amen. Why me? I found favor. Okay, about what? Let an angel show up here. Let an angel. I told God, I'm not bowing. I only bow to you. Amen. And when an angel shows up, I'll reverence the authority and say, yes, speak. For your servant is listening. In what manner shall you speak unto me that I must do to fulfill what God is saying now? Amen. We need angels to show up on the scene, guys.
Amen.
To change some things here on this earth.
Yes.
Obviously, we're not getting it. So we need some angels to show up.
Yes.
And say, you know what? I need to show you something. You, I'm going to take it out there, but you're going to follow me on this. You haven't broken the 200 mark in your church. You're still a virgin. But God has found favor with you.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I'm going to show you the change and the shift.
Mega.
To the smaller, hungrier, devoted, faithful church.
Amen. Amen.
that wants to build the kingdom and not build the church. So when the angel speaks to Mary that you're going to bear forth a child by the Holy Spirit that has come upon you, and watch the agreement. You can read on in the story. Let me paraphrase because I know it's getting late. Now the angel goes to Joseph. Do you understand? Out of the mouth of two witnesses it shall be established. So the angel goes to Mary, pregnated. Now to the father, spoken of, name, what to do, and why. Now there's agreement. Do you understand? And now when Jesus comes on the scene, but before we even get that, what does Mary do? Mary goes. To Elizabeth, and what takes place in the belly of Elizabeth? Now Elizabeth knows something in the spirit. What's inside of her is by God. And Mary does not leave Elizabeth. She stays there for a while. Do you understand? You ever wonder why you don't come out of obscurity for some seasons? And you think that you're in a cave? And things just don't work for you and everything that you're doing? You can't seem to find something steady? You can't seem to find direction and understanding and clarity? But you know that you're in God's will, but you're just wondering why I must be hidden for such a time as this. But when I reveal my glory and my promise, when it comes forth, now he shall be called God with us. Why? Because we have to hide in the time that God has spoken something to us. Keep our mouth shut, close our ears, and come together in agreement with those that are impregnated so that the will of God can go forth. One had a destiny to make the crooked path straight. The other one had a destiny to bring healing to a dying world. Why are we tripping because not everybody's preaching? Why are we tripping because you ain't prophesying like somebody else is prophesying? Why are we tripping when another church is moving in glory, but you're over here moving and teaching? Why? Because your destiny is what God gave you to do. So do it the way God told you to do it. Don't be looking at anybody else's ministry to try to make it like theirs. The destiny of John the Baptist was to go forth and prepare the way for him. So that when Jesus came on the scene, their destinies would cross paths at a place called transition, which is the Jordan. And it shifted from John being out in the wilderness to Jesus going into the wilderness by the Spirit. Why? He went into the wilderness. Oh, God. The Holy Spirit came upon him when he came out of the water. Driven into the wilderness from being tempted by Satan, the devil. Spirit of God was on him. All the temptation comes. You come in out of the wilderness in power, filled with the Spirit. There's a difference. Some ministries are there to go forth and prepare the way. Other ministries that are coming up are going to take over and take it to the next level. You ever wonder why you hear all these wonderful, wonderful psalmists and worshipers ushering people in at a higher level in God? And they're young? And you think, I wonder what they've been through. They didn't have to go through. God gave them that. Do you understand? What I'm trying to tell you, and I know this is a story about the birth of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you what God is saying to your spirit. I've spoken a word into your spirit. Man of God, look at me real quick. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. And please hear my heart on this. What's your name?
Leonard.
Leonard? Gospel roots are deep down inside you, man. Four generations back. Four. And I see that the preach that is inside of you can change a people and change a territory, but you're running. If I could just tell you, man of God, he loves you right where you're at. And if you would just answer that beckoning call, you'll see things turn around, establish you in where you're at. You're needed for this hour and this dispensation and what God is doing. Deep down inside of you, I speak into your spirit, man, what God has given you. Matter of fact, I see you when you were 6 years old playing with the basketball, and I see this woman coming up to you, say, baby, come here, come here, come here, come here, baby, come here, baby, come here, baby, come here, baby. You're called. You're called. And you didn't understand, but as I see her holding you, she held you in high regard, even above everybody else. And she cries for you. Ooh, Jesus, thank you. Brother, the gospel is deep, man. You're called. And prophet, I tell you to come out. Come up and do as thus saith the Lord. You are a prophet of God in this end times that you shall, your voice shall be heard. Don't be religious on me. That's what God is saying. Don't be religious on me. Be relationship with me. Whoo, Jesus, you have had visions and you have had dreams and you have seen them and you know what they are, but you don't want to do it because you've seen your family get hurt because of the church. You've seen people get so tore up because of the gospel. And that's why you don't want to go anywhere near it. I'm here to tell you, beloved, he loves you. I love you, and I don't know you, Leonard. One thing I know about you, man, you are the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you're going to roar, and you're going to take your family, and you're going to take the people to another level. But most of all, you're going to come to wholeness in you first. You are a blessing, man of God. You are a blessing. A blessing. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Amen, amen. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. My God, my God, my God. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you. What has been birthed inside of you, what the angel of God has spoken, the angel represents a messenger of God that has been spoken into your life. And as a messenger in this house, many words have gone forth into your spirit. Many words. And when people come against that word, shut your ears, shut your mouth, and be still. You have had words given to you before many other people. Don't let that word be aborted. Don't give it up. Hold on to it. Because in its rightful time, in its rightful season, God is going to bring it to pass. Sometimes you have to get with somebody that's impregnated with the same thing. That is kingdom mindset. And understands that if I get out of this, I'll miss what God has for me. Get connected to the kingdom of God, those that God has impregnated with you. And the ones that come against what you're doing, that's an indication for you. Don't hook up. Don't be mean. Get into the things that what God wants you to do. Don't be religious. He didn't come after the religious folks. Matter of fact, he had to make the one that was religious dumb and deaf. He came after the one that was real. And bless them. Just be real. Be real. It's hard enough living life as it is. And when you're going through, go through. Kicking, screaming, crying, whatever. Just go through. We all go through it. But what he's speaking right now, change is coming. Change is coming. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that tonight we spent time with you in your presence, that we worshiped beyond the time that we thought that was necessary.